I used to close my eyes a lot because most people eat after a show. I used to have violent curries before him.
You had them during, I remember.
That's true, but that was when I had the famous boycott curry.
What's that?
Well, it's like a vindaloo curry, except the runs come slower.
It's very good. So, okay, so there you are, a member of this Yes group. Where's the photo? Where have we got a photo? At that time, you were into curries and supporting Brentford and drinking quite heavily, still not doing that.
No, not doing that.
But at the time, I mean, rock was so full of pomp and majesty, and I can't believe that, as I say, you weren't 100% into it like that.
No,
what did the rest of the band do?
They were riveting. John and Alan are great friends of mine. In fact, Steve said
Top of Great Oceans. Just, I don't want to move you on, but I just want to, because I can't believe, maybe I imagined this. That was recorded with on Hay.
Well, what happened was we decided originally that we were
in case people don't know, Tales from the Topographic Oceans was perhaps as far as rock got towards overblown gothic Sanskrit lyrics and took itself very, very seriously. But it was recorded.
You liked it then, didn't you?
No, I did. I bought it. That's all you want to worry about. I bought it at the time.
Actually, weren't bad. But what happened was everybody decided.
I don't remember that on the edge. Wait a minute, ain't bad. Yeah.
We decided that what we were going to do was record it in the country.
Yeah.
And we went out to all the country, and nobody decided they wanted to drive out to the country. So I arrived at Morgan Studios, which is where we decided to do it in Wilson. And Monty Babson, who was the boss there, I used the studios a lot. I'd done King Arthur there and all those other albums. And I arrived there, and Monty called me, and he said, nobody else had come. He said, Rick, can I have a word with you? And I said, yeah. He said, the rest of the lads, are they all right? I said, yeah, fine, why? He said, and a couple of lorries come this morning. And I said, what with the gear? He said, no, the gear came last night. And I said, what? He said, I think you'd better come over and look at Studio 3. And I went in there, and it was full of haystacks. They got a cow with an electric motor. We got like white fences. And instead of having a drum booth, he had like a white fence with all
the. In the studio?
Yeah, it was all like, and it was unbelievable. I mean, my gear was the first time I ever had to send away for service for Greenfly.
Why did it?
Oh, well, because it's one of those things you do, wasn't it, really?
They wanted a rural feel.
They wanted a rural feel, and then you walked out into Wilston.
And yet...
I mean, that's really rural for
and
you.
And yet, as I say, they were, you know, it was overblown rock, took itself seriously, and they were indulgent, and everything that went with 70s rock and roll.
Yep.
And yet, at the same time, as I said in the introduction, you're on Clive Dunn's granddad, too.
I was on the follow-up, Grandma.
Were you?
Right, yeah.
You're on Grandma. How comes you're on things like... You're on Black Sabbath records.
Yeah.
You took just any gig that came along at the time.
Well, I was doing sessions, most like three sessions a day. It was the era when sessions were...
But you were in, like, one of the biggest rock groups in the world.
Yeah, but, I mean... But Clive Dunn doesn't do Tales from Toby's Graphic Go-Kart, does he?
No. How comes you're on Clive Dunn's then?
Well, I got invited to go on and do it, and I'm a Dad's Army freak. In fact, Ian Lavender, who plays... I said, next year, you've got to get Ian on, because he's a wonderful rapper, great stories. And I was just a Dad's Army freak. And I met him, and he was lovely.